Well, now is not the time to get too comfortable in your billing habits. If you're a federal contractor, you probably breathed a sigh of relief at the budget deal that pushed the debt limit off until March of 2017. But agencies pay invoices in the order they're received, and time flies. Wojtek Kornacki is an associate attorney focusing on government contract law for Center Law Group. He joins me now with more. Mr. Kornacki, great to have you on.
Good morning. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
All right. So this budget deal is a framework. There's no real budget yet. How does this affect contractors and their billing? What should they be thinking about?
Well, it's always important to make sure that first you do great work for the federal government, then you properly document it, and then you review your contract and see if there's any special provisions such as accelerated payments or any other payments where you can get them early. But the bottom line is that you want to continue to provide timely invoices to the government. Just in case something happens, you want to get that in so that way you can get paid on time and you can continue to provide services to the federal government.
So in other words, if you delay, anticipating a delay in payments or a holdup in the government getting funded, then you could outsmart yourself.
Yes, exactly. This is particularly very important for small businesses. As President Obama says, small businesses are the main engine of our economy, and usually they have several employees, maybe a dozen of employees, and any slowdown in payments could have a detrimental effect on them. So it's very important to make sure that you do this on a monthly basis, so that way you don't have to use some of the legal tools, which sometimes take time, in order to make sure that your employees are getting paid.
Yeah, they say small business can die on its receivables, so you really got to get those in early. What about the use, well, in a time like this, how are bankers and lenders tending to be if, say, you need revolving credit because you're waiting for the government to pay you?
Well, I think the general outlook right now is that the budget crisis has been resolved, so that's a victory for common sense and for the bottom line to get the business of the American people done. The economy seems to be growing, so probably most bankers will understand, if they have good relationships with small businesses, that sometimes there could be a holdup somewhere. So most likely they will cooperate with small businesses to make sure that they have a good line of credit.
But if you're a federal contractor, you're probably in better shape than someone purely in the commercial field, because even though the government may be lurching and halting, it is good for the bills that it incurs.
Yes, the federal government is actually the greatest part of our economy. It procures the greatest amount, and in the next 2 years, there will be an extra $80 billion, and probably a portion of this will go to contractor-related services. So in that respect, contractors can expect to do fairly well. Probably the two main growth areas that we anticipate in seeing is first small business set-asides and small business opportunities, and then the second one is cybersecurity. Under the new legislation that will be coming out, the government wants to spend an extra $14 billion on cybersecurity, and the Department of Defense is already spending $5 billion of its own.
All right, so there's some good opportunities now that most of the budget tintinnabulations are past us.
Yes, exactly. So, in fact, there's one Supreme Court case right now, Kingdomware versus United States, where a small business sued a federal agency, essentially arguing that they're entitled to a set-aside. And Congress has been historically requiring more and more agencies to procure more and more from small businesses. So this will be very interesting to see how the Supreme Court decides this case, because this will have second and third level effects on small businesses, and also how the federal government procures from small businesses.
All right. And also, you write in a blog that to check whether your contract contains advance payment or accelerated payment clauses. Are these generally in there as boilerplate, or is it something you've got to negotiate in?
It depends. Each contract is different. So in our law firm, where we specialize in government contract law and employment law, our analysis starts with what's in the contract. And if there are some provisions for accelerated payments or other early payments, and the contractor meets those requirements, for example, in order to start working on a contract, they need a substantial payments to mobilize, then we would assist contractors in making sure that they can get the payment. And all the contracting officers I met are always willing to help the contractor get the mission done for the federal government.
We're speaking with Wojtek Kornacki. He's an associate attorney focusing on government contract law for the Center Law Group. And a moment ago, you mentioned some legal tools that if things get dicey that the contractor might be able to use. But what are they? And is it something you should do as a last resort?
Well, it depends. Each case is different. But as Barbara Kinaski always says, we want our clients to be legally and also financially successful. Now, Congress is very particular in making sure that small businesses and federal contractors are getting paid on time. And if they don't, then under the Prompt Payment Act, they're entitled to interest. And that's you essentially address one of the main concerns that each small business has. Should we go the route of using the legal tools? Essentially, having a good working relationship with the contracting officer is critical, but on the other hand, running your own business is also critical. So if an invoice is submitted on time and it's not getting paid, we always recommend to follow up, and if this turns into a dispute, then Congress gave those legal tools to the contractors exactly to make sure that they get paid on time and that the government makes the payment, so that way this issue can be resolved and everyone can move on and see about the next contract or the next procurement.
Now, we are still in a continuing resolution, even though the budget framework was passed. The actual appropriations bills have not been passed. And so how can a contractor help the government and itself, I guess, stay out of a potential anti-deficiency situation?
Well, I think that's a very good question. So probably for us, the analysis would start with what actually happens. And then once we actually have the law, the contractor should definitely make sure that they provide timely invoices to the federal government. If there's any way that they can receive an extra payment or an accelerated payment, that they do that as well. And then also make sure that they budget properly in anticipation of all the possible contingencies. Usually the federal government is very good in making sure that each contractor gets paid. Federal agencies are aware that they have to pay interest, and they don't want to pay interest. So most likely, we're confident that common sense will prevail and there will be no anti-deficiency issues. But if there were, then I'm sure this will be resolved legally, because Congress takes this very seriously and the executive branch also takes this very seriously. And if there's a proper invoice and the government owes money, I'm sure that the government will pay it at some point.
And you also mentioned in passing almost to make sure that your invoices are accurate. So I guess the important thing there is that you want to make sure they're really accurate, because you don't want to get into a false claim situation. So it's probably a good time to review all of the clauses and everything you're entitled to before putting together that invoice.
Exactly. That's so right. We see this issue so many times. It's very important that first all the invoices are true and accurate, and then also that if a claim has to be certified, they're properly certified. In the last several years, the government has been actually getting a lot of money from different federal contractors, and you can see this on the internet, where billions of dollars or millions of dollars have to be paid back to the federal government because they're not the contractor is not compliant in some way, or they didn't provide all the documentation, so now the government is not willing to pay, or there's been some other misconduct involved in either being awarded the contract or managing the contract. So it's critical, and contractors also have to be aware of the mandatory disclosure rule. This rule essentially says, and Congress has put this in the Federal Acquisition Regulation, that each contractor, once they know that they're not compliant and that there's some credible evidence that maybe they didn't sell the right product to the federal government, that they have a duty to report, because otherwise there could be criminal, administrative, or contractual remedies that the government will use. So it's a two-way street, but the bottom line starts with making sure you do good work for the federal government. You invoice it, you time it. If you don't put it on your timesheet, it's almost like you didn't do the work. So it's very important that you actually do the work, put it on the timesheet, submit the invoice, and if there's an issue, you use the legal tools that you have if you cannot resolve it otherwise.
Wojtech Kornacki is an associate attorney focusing on government contract law for the Center Law Group. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you so much.